Turn around, God. wasted years. Oh, how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and fears, turn around, turn.
Good to have Jim Gertner's son here tonight. Jim and Jeannie. James, right?
Steven.
You're Steven. All right.
James is my
old
name.
What?
James is my
old
name.
Oh, okay. So that'll be all right. You'll answer to both of them, I guess, right? Especially when it's supper time, right? And his wife and children here tonight. Good to have you guys with us here today. Okay. Good. All right, let's see. Let's take a look at what we're going to do here. Dave Conklin is going to pass around a booklet written by my father. And you'll notice it's Dr. Paul L. Freeman on there. All right? He was given a honorary doctor degree by Pensacola Christian College. Go ahead, you can pass one around. Get one of these. We're going to be using these for the next month of messages on Sunday night. You'll notice it says studies in Galatians and Roman Catholicism. What is it? And it's the Roman Catholicism part that I want you to be aware of. And if you would, once you get it, open it up. Oh, let's see. You got to go to page 19. Go to page 19 once you get one of those. And you'll see there's like an introduction there. And the first section is on the continual sacrifice called the Mass. And what I'd like you to do is specifically read that section for next week. And next Sunday night, we will be talking about the continual sacrifice of Roman Catholicism referred to as the Mass. And we're going to be looking at Roman Catholicism for the next few weeks, showing the doctrines that they teach, which are not scriptural. Now, in preparation for that, I want to speak on what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm not really going to be talking about Roman Catholicism tonight. I'm going to be talking about why would a preacher... you don't have enough? Okay, there might be some more of these on, if some of you have double, that way we can give it, like husband and wife, maybe you could give up one, and then the husband and wife use it together. All right, the reason why I'm not going to be actually talking about Roman Catholicism tonight is because I want to lay the groundwork as to why would a preacher even take the time to expose another religion and their teachings. Is that the right thing to do? Is it right to do that? Is it nice to do that? Well, I wish I didn't have to do it. But we must do it. And we do have Scripture telling us to do that kind of a thing. It's not good for the believer to just believe everything that's out there. We're taught in the Bible to be faithful to the Word of God and to the doctrine. And sometimes it's even important to expose the error, name the error, identify the error, so that we don't become entrapped in it or don't start thinking that it's just like what Christianity ought to be when it's not. And so we want to take some time and do this. First of all, why expose Roman Catholic beliefs? Why even do that? First of all, because the truth will set you free from false teaching. Go with me, first of all, to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 30. Now, I'm going to be taking you to a host of scriptures tonight because I want you to be convinced by the time we're done here that the Bible says this is the right thing to do, to study a religion like Roman Catholicism and talk about its errors so that we don't fall into it ourselves. But John chapter 8, verse 30 and 32, Jesus is speaking. Here it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, and here's the important words, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth is not found in the traditions of men. It's found in the Word of God. I like that we sang tonight, the Bible stands. And folks, I hope that's where your faith rests, upon the Word of God and not upon the traditions handed down by men. In the same book of John, John chapter 17, verse 17, if you would, the Lord, he tells us clearly what the truth is. Now, I already told you it was the Bible, but it didn't come right out and say that in John chapter 8. But look at John 17, 17. Here the Lord in his high priestly prayer in John 17, where we find Jesus praying to his Father up in heaven just before he went to the cross. He's praying for the believers that he's going to leave behind. And he says to his Father in prayer in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he says, thy word is truth. And the word, of course, is the Bible, handed down to us and given to us today. And I believe even more so than ever before that God has preserved that word. If I'm to be sanctified in the truth, then the word has to be here. Now, we have a battle for the Bible going on today with all these modern versions and everything. And you know what? They aren't saying the same thing. And we need to hold on to our King James Bibles. That's what we need to do. And because that's how we're going to be sanctified or set apart unto God through the truth if we have the word. And so thy word is truth. Another thing, not only will the truth set you free from false teaching, but here's another reason why we need to expose Roman Catholic beliefs. Traditions make the word of God of none effect. You know, if you listen to the traditions rather than the word of God, the word of God will lose its effectiveness in you and you begin to just follow after the traditions of men. Go with me to Mark chapter 7, the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Well, look for Mark chapter 7 and starting at verse 6. Again, the Lord is teaching his disciples and he's even speaking to the Pharisees of his day who had all kinds of traditions and they were not as interested in the word of God as they were in their traditions that they were keeping. And so the Lord rebukes them here. In verse 6, he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias, and that's Isaiah of the Old Testament, prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the traditions of men. As the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. In other words, the Ten Commandments say to honor thy father and mother. But the Pharisees had set up traditions in such a manner that you can get away from having to honor your father and mother if you have some money that you could give to your mom and dad to help them out. If you say, well, mom and dad, this money I'm going to give to the temple, that alleviates your responsibility to take care of mom and dad. You see how their tradition would actually undo the word of God, which says, honor your father and mother. Quite frankly, if you have that gift, instead of giving it to the temple, the Lord would have you rather take care of your mom and dad. Honor thy father and mother. But the Pharisees had turned it around so as to get more money for the temple. Oh boy, I tell you what, watch out for a preacher who's looking for your money more than teaching you the word of God. And not only Roman Catholicism, but a lot of other religions seem to be more interested in your wallet and getting out of your wallet rather than teaching you to follow the word of God. And so it ends with verse 13. The Lord says this, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Now next week we'll start looking at some of the traditions of Roman Catholicism, which do just that. They make the word of God of none effect, keeping those traditions instead of following the word of God. So I'm showing you these verses so that you'll see, why am I preaching about Roman Catholicism and their traditions and teachings? Another thing, first of all, we saw the truth will set you free. Secondly, tradition makes the word of God of none effect. And number three, if they're teaching another gospel, you need to walk away from that. And they do teach another gospel. It's not a gospel of grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. It's another gospel. And we're told in the Bible, be careful of another gospel. There's only one gospel that matters, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ and faith through him alone, justification by faith. Our movie on Thursday night will center around this doctrine. Are you justified by the traditions of the church, or are you justified by faith in Jesus Christ? I hope you all know what the true answer is. But take a look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I have several verses for this about another gospel. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul warns the believers in the early church about this, because they were in jeopardy of following another gospel. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Whoa, that's strong language. That tells me that we've got to hold on to the gospel like as if to take it away will cause us great spiritual damage. And so we got to hold on to that. And even if an angel comes to you and says, you know what, there's another gospel besides the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace of God, don't believe that angel. Even if it's an angel. Because can angels make a mistake? I know one angel who did make a mistake. Mark was talking about it, eating that fruit of that tree there. The devil was there deceiving Adam and Eve, and they ate of that and plunged the whole human race into sin, and that's why we got sickness and problem, autism and everything else, because of that event back there. But thank God the gospel is Jesus died for sinners. He paid the price for our sin. There is no other gospel than that. Mary can't save you. See, I am talking about it anyway, see? They have another gospel. If you want to interject Mary into this, or the saints into this, or offerings that you bring, or candles that you light, then that's another gospel. Only Jesus will do. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So you're right there, Galatians, just go back a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1, 2, 3, 4. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles. Here Paul says, it may be that some will try to turn you away from the simplicity in Christ unto another gospel, unto another Christ. Don't go with them. Follow the simplicity of the gospel. You know, the gospel is simple. It's not complicated. You know what? And I've said this before. If God wanted to, he could mess us up really, really easy by making salvation complicated. I mean, God could do that in all of his wisdom. He could make salvation complicated, but he didn't. He made it simple. Simple. The Philippian jailer rushed in that prison that night when God released all the prisoners. If you remember that, Paul and Silas, they were singing the praises of God and witnessing all night long. And he was convicted and he came in, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, Paul could have said, well, you got to go to seminary. You got to pass some tests. You got to physically work and do some things. It's really tough. Yeah. No. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's simple. It is that simple in order to be saved. I'm glad it's that simple, because my feeble brain here couldn't handle God's complexity. If he wanted to, he could scramble my brain in a second difficulties and so forth. But he made it simple. Gary, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Oh, thank God for his grace. And that's all that it takes in order to be saved. But I tell you what, it took a lot for God to provide that salvation for you and me. But when it comes down to receiving it, it is simple. It is simple. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Oh, wait a minute. No, you're right there. Are you still there? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to go over to verse 13 and 14 before we go to 2 Timothy. 13 and 14, it describes how that sometimes these who preach another gospel may appear very righteous as they do it. They might appear very religious. Don't be fooled by that. Look there, 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, the devil's ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Wow, the deceitfulness of false teachers of another gospel can be that they'll parade themselves as ministers of righteousness. Just because Catholicism might take a stand against abortion doesn't mean their gospel they preach is correct. So don't be deceived by that. You've got to follow the truth. Even Satan himself will transform himself into an angel of light. You know, by the way, I don't believe the devil looks like that little red hot thing, you know, all red with a pointy horn and an arrow on the end of his tail and walking around with a pitchfork. The devil's got the world deceived into thinking that's what he looks like. The devil is actually the most beautiful creature God ever made. And that's in Ezekiel, and it's also in Isaiah. One of the most beautiful creatures God ever made is the devil. And yet he's wicked as can be. So don't be fooled or deceived by what it may look like on the outside. I want to know, what do they believe? How is their doctrine? And that's what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. We're going to look at, what do they believe? What is their doctrine? And then you have to determine whether it's right or wrong. Now, we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We've been told that men are going to come around with all kinds of myths and fables. We need to be careful. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And the Greek word for fables is mythos. Myths. Turned unto myths. And that certainly is what some of these religious systems are. Just a bunch of fables and myths dreamed up by men. Sound doctrine is not part of their system. And we're told, preach the word, be sound in doctrine. So the time's coming when people aren't going to endure sound doctrine. And I believe that day's here. People don't want doctrine. They want emotionalism. They want music. They want a nightclub atmosphere at the church. You know what we need? More Bible preaching. Teach the doctrine, because that's what will lead people in the way that is right. All right, 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and starting at verse 3, another gospel. Look here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is him hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, and that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, I like that. You know what? Preachers need to do that. Don't preach yourself. Preach about Jesus Christ our Lord. Preach Christ, and you'll not get messed up, preacher. You'll not get on a road of self-exaltation. Preach Christ. And then verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, another gospel is the devil's gospel, and he blinds people's eyes with it. lest they see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. You know, why do we so fervently preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, you fundamentalists, you independent Baptists, you're so strong on preaching the gospel all the time. Why don't you lighten up a little bit, you know, smooth it out a little. Wait a minute. That's the thing that's going to save the lost man from hell, is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That light needs to get into his heart and mind, and that he'll see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you know what's happening? The devil's trying to put blinders on their eyes. He's trying to pull the shades down so that they can't see. So what should a preacher do? Preach even harder. Preach even more fervently. You need to be saved. So, you know, that blinder can kind of open up. You ever look out through blinds, you know, when they're closed and you kind of pull them apart and you can look out? That's what we want sinners to kind of like look up. Ooh, is that what Jesus can do for me? Amen. All right, pull those blinds up. I want to get saved. Trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Okay, go over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Do you know where all these books are in the Bible, by the way? Titus, Corinthians, Galatians. I hope you do. I hope you're familiar with your Bible good enough. Titus chapter 1, starting at verse 9. You know what? If we let another gospel in, it's going to subvert people's souls. So we need to keep the gospel clear, doctrinally sound, so that people's souls are not subverted. All right, Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. You know, it doesn't say he may be able by traditions. No, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Now, your preacher is going to expose false doctrine in the next few weeks. Is that the right thing to do? Right there, Titus is told by Paul, rebuke them soundly, sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Let's see if I wanted to read any more of that. That's it. We want to turn men from men's traditions to the truth, the Word of God. And we need to do that sharply sometimes. Yeah. It may sound pretty hard sometimes. Well, boy, a pastor's really coming down hard on that religious way. If it's not doctrinally sound, it needs to be exposed for what it is. All right, another place. Not only another gospel, but also here's another reason why we need to expose Roman Catholic beliefs. So we can separate from it. So that we can separate from it. This morning I gave you a result of a recent survey done among evangelical pastors. And this survey concluded that 58% of evangelical pastors believe that the Pope is a born-again man. Folks, that shows a lack of understanding of the doctrines of the Word of God on the part of preachers. I'm not just talking about people in their congregations. I'm talking about the leaders of ministries. 58%. I am not one of those 58% that believe that the Pope is born again. He's following another gospel. So he needs to turn from that gospel and come unto Christ alone without all the trappings of traditions, as we will talk about them in the next few weeks. But come clearly through the gospel of Jesus Christ alone. So we need to expose this so that we can separate from them. Romans chapter 16. Does the Bible say we ought to separate from certain things? Yes, it does. Yep. You need to take a stand. Romans chapter 16, and look at verse 17 and 18. I'll start reading while you get there. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark them. That means to put a mark on them so that everyone could say, that is the error right there. See? X marks the spot. Put a mark on. That's false teaching. Mark them. And why? So that we will be able to avoid them. If you don't know what is wrong, how can you avoid it? You need to know what's wrong. The next verse, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Say, why are you going to so many scriptures? Because I want you to know this is throughout the New Testament, this teaching that we should expose error and know what we believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? The word infidel simply means someone who doesn't believe. An unbeliever. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? You know, you're either getting to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, or you're going to get to heaven through prayers to Mary. Which way? They're not the same. That's another gospel. So you've got to be on the right way. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye, what does it say? Separate. Separate. Nobody wants to hear the word separation today. Everybody wants to get along with everybody. You know, this is the age of getting along. You know what? We get along with a false doctrine. We're all going to end up in hell. We need to separate from false teaching so that we'll go in the way that is right. The devil is a sly old fox, folks. And if he can deceive you into thinking that we really ought to just get along, unite together. You know, in order to unite, you have to give up something. And that usually is truth. Don't give up truth to unite. In fact, the only real good kind of unity you can have is when you're united around the truth. Not united away from the truth, united around the truth. Because then you can rejoice in what is true, together in what is true. All right, continuing on in this passage here. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Not saith Pastor Freeman, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Just one verse here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Exhortation here for us to separate from false teaching and doctrine and so forth. Verse 11. And have no fellowship. Well, what does that mean? That means don't get along with them. Don't be hanging around with them. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Say, here's why we can't fellowship with that. Because this is what they say and believe and do. And God's word says, don't say that. Don't believe that. Don't do that. Follow in this way. This is the way that's right. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I hope you're seeing that this is throughout the Bible here. You know, it's not just one passage. Oh, Pastor Freeman's just taking one verse out of context. No, no. It's all through the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the what? Doctrine, which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, what? Withdraw thyself. I kind of don't want to give everything away in the movie on Thursday night, but there's one instant, and you look for this on Thursday night, when just one of the general public person comes to John Wycliffe and tells him what the priest told them. And Wycliffe shakes his head like he can't believe that they would say such a thing. It's what they said, what the priest said to them, is not found in the Bible anywhere. It's totally not found in the Bible anywhere. And he sets them straight with what the Bible does say. Oh, that's what we need. That's what you need. So we can separate from it. And when the person there hears it, they're so happy. You'll see this when we see this on Thursday night. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. This is an interesting one verse. Now, I don't know if all of you were here when we went verse by verse through the book of Revelation, but I believe chapter 17 and 18 describes the coming downfall of the Church of Rome. And in Revelation 18, a warning is given out to the readers of the book of Revelation not to participate with her, referring to her, the Catholic Church, the Church of Rome. And I believe it is the Church of Rome. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's got to be that. But notice Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now, you almost have to take my word on it that I believe 17 and 18 chapters are about the Church of Rome. You study it yourself. Go home tonight and read it before you go to bed, all right? And see if you can't see the Church of Rome in Revelation 17 and 18, and then realize, you know what? We can't participate with that. We can't be together with that. I'm not going to march down the street together with a priest in opposition to abortion. I'm against abortion, but I'm not going to get together with them to do the work of the Lord. I'm not going to participate with that. We'll do it on our own if necessary. You say, well, why can't you just get along? Because that's another doctrine, a false doctrine. I cannot go along with that. And then lastly, I got a few more verses. Another reason why we expose their beliefs. So we can help those entrapped in it. I mean, that's why we want to help them who are entrapped in it. We're not going to do this just to be nasty and mean and say bad things. No, we want to help people who are in it, entrapped in it, to get out of it. Here's the truth. Here's the other way, the right way. Follow in this way. And here's some verses for it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. This is a good verse for you to keep in mind as we expose error. It's good to be careful how you talk and how you say things. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 would just be a good warning to us to be careful how we help people come to the knowledge of the truth. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with what? Grace. Seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So why are we going to go through this for the next several weeks? So that you might know how to answer them when they say, well, I think I can get to heaven by saying prayers to Mary. Well, you need to teach them. The Bible says nothing about prayers to Mary. All right? But how do you do it? You have to speak it with grace on your lips. You can't say, you dummy, you, how come you're... You know, no. You got to be gracious and say, maybe even some of you I know were Catholics at one time. You might be able to say, you know, I once believed that too. But now through the Word of God, I've come to understand this. See, speak with grace on your lips, undeserved favor. Don't be nasty and mean. Be gracious as you help them who are entrenched or entrapped. 1 Timothy chapter 4. There's just a couple verses in this chapter I want to bring to your attention here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We will be using this passage when we talk about some of the things that Roman Catholicism believes. But I want you to see that it says that in the end times, some shall depart from the faith. Verse 1. You see that there. Verse 6. Go down to verse 6. I'm in 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Down to verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Down to verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. And now listen to this. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So you need to know what you believe and what is right. You need to know what they believe, which is wrong, so that you can help them and also deliver yourself from it as well. There are many who consider themselves evangelicals who have decided to yoke up with Roman Catholicism like as if they're their brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's not true. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. You know, you can't fight with people, okay? You can't strive with them. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, ready to teach them the truth, and be patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You see, you're trying to help people who are entrapped in these doctrines and traditions, not doctrine, traditions of men. And you need to help them get out from underneath it by a gentle word, not striving with them, fighting with them, but the best way you know how to teach them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I have just this one and one more. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. You all know this verse. Many of you have memorized this verse. Let's all read this verse together when you get there, all right? If you know it by heart, try and say it from memory if you can. This is a great verse in helping those who are entrapped by false teaching. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, all right? Everybody, those of you there, read along out loud with me. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You need to be ready with an answer to help them see the error of their way. And you do it with meekness and fear, or awesome respect for the truth. You know, some kind of get into an argumentation and debate mode. You know, you got to try to avoid that. Sometimes you get in it, no matter what, you can't avoid that. But you should be trying the best you can to do it with meekness. Meekness means to be easily imposed upon. Easily imposed upon. Oh, Gary, now, why do you, I'm glad you asked. You know, easily imposed upon. Not getting ready to fight, but ready to help them with a good answer. And then Jude, the book of Jude, there's no chapters, it's just one chapter. Jude, right in front of the book of Revelation. So go to Revelation, get right in front of it. You'll see the book of Jude. Jude 20 through 23. We want to help those who are entrapped in this system. And in Jude 20 through 23, it says this, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith," and you need to be doing that, building up yourselves, "praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." You know, sometimes you do have to get just a little bit more earnest with them. As they ask you questions and as you see them totally entrapped in false teaching, you try with compassion, and then sometimes you have to say, "You know what? You really need to get out of this system and come to the truth." Almost like pulling them out of the fire. You know, if someone's in a house and the house is burning down, you don't just stand outside and say, "Oh, I sure hope that you figure out a way to get out of it." No, you run in there and you try and pull them out, okay? It gets a little bit more earnest, but you still have to do that with meekness and fear. Because they may reject your offer of help, and they're in a bad situation. But you need to do the best you can, and you need to be equipped to know what they believe so that you can pull them out of the fire if necessary. But do it with compassion. That, hopefully, this gives you a preparation for the things we're going to be talking about the next few Sunday evening services. So we're going to be getting into it next Sunday night. We're going to talk about the teaching of the Mass, the continual sacrifice that they do, show why that's not biblical, so that you'll be able to help those who are entrapped thereby. I hope you see tonight there is a reason to do this type of a study. And I've never had a problem with it, but as I thought, there may be some who just have a little bit of trepidation, I guess, to hear the pastor talking about another religion. "Oh, I don't think you should talk about it." Well, I hope you've seen tonight that it's important that we teach right doctrine and that we expose false teaching and that you have an understanding of what they believe so that you can help them get out from underneath the trap. Those of you who were Catholic at one time, I'm sure today you're glad someone told you the truth. I'm sure that you would say, "Boy, I'm glad someone was willing to tell me what the Bible says, because I was totally taken in. I was blinded by that." If you're here tonight like that, raise your hand. Anybody like that? I see several of you. Amen. It's good to be delivered from false teaching. And somebody probably had to come along somewhere in your life and say, "Hey, did you ever question what you believe?" You know, and throw out little things to make you wonder about what you're believing. Thank God they did it. And hopefully they did it in a loving way that you responded to it. I mean, if they came up to you and, you know, made fun of you or said disparaging things to you, you might not have listened to them. But it was good that someone came to you with the truth. And others of you who may not be ex-Catholic, maybe you were ex-Protestants, okay? And you thought that being baptized as a baby was good enough and church membership was good enough and try the best you can. Wasn't it good someone came to you and say, you know what, that's not salvation at all. Here's what salvation is. Trusting Jesus Christ to take away your sin and give you everlasting life. Will you believe in him? Yeah, that's, I'm glad that's how the gospel was given to me. You say, well, your mom and dad were saved, so you were bound to get saved. You know what? They didn't force me to get saved. My parents didn't, you know, tie my hands and put me down and now you get saved. No. They tenderly brought me along with the truth of the gospel. And one day, even as a 10-year-old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior on my own. On my own. I still remember the night. It was past midnight. And I was so convicted of the need to get saved that I went into my mom and dad's bedroom there. They were both sleeping away. And I came in there and tapped on my dad. He went, whoa, 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 whoa. He wakes up like this, you know. I said, I need to get saved. I'm crying and everything. He got out of bed and we went into my room and knelt at my bed, both of us, his knees on the floor, my knees on the floor. And there I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior that night. And I knew my dad would want me to do that. He didn't force me to do that. He tenderly pushed me along and said, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And if you're not saved, you need to do that same thing. Admit you're a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're listening to me on the internet tonight, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior if you have not done that. And if you're of the Catholic belief, I encourage you to listen in the next several Sunday nights and listen to some of the things we're going to say. And I hope it will help you understand that you need to follow what the Bible says, not what men say. And so I challenge you to listen in and listen to what and get a Bible out in front of you so that you can see this in the Bible. And I hope it will help you come to a knowledge of the truth in a good way. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. That's what put us on the right path. Thank you for Jesus, whom the Bible talks all about. No one ever prayed to Mary or to the saints. They went to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, directly. And I pray that many would come to you that way as we preach the word. Keep us safe as we go our way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.